Hi, I'm Missy. I'm a DIY DJ, and you can be too. This is Listener Driven Radio, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
It's that time of year again. CKW's Fun Drive starts on Friday, February the 6th. Fun Drive is where we ask for donations from listeners just like you. Community donations make up a quarter of our operating budget. It is this community support that keeps us a grassroots and independent radio station year-round. Go to fundrive.ckw.ca to donate.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I am your host, Dustin Rogers, and today on the program, we'll hear incredible music from the golden age of arcades covering the composers of IREM, a Japanese company that carved out a respectable name for itself in the 80s before a major exodus in the 90s that it could never recover from. Today's show is about several of the composers that IREM employed during its heyday. Yes, you're listening to another episode of Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. That was The Racing Spirit from the game Racing Damashi, released for the TurboGrafx-16 in 1991 by IREM. And today's episode is going to be a little different from what usual listeners are familiar with, where the typical Square Wave looks at the career of a composer behind classic video games. This show will instead feature many different composers who share a common connection. They all worked for IREM. Now, for those who may not recall, IREM is a Japanese company who released several popular games in arcades and home consoles during the 80s and 90s. I have more to say about the company's early days and rise to prominence later on, but ultimately, IREM would be left a shell of its former self when, in 1994, many of the company's best and brightest left to form Nazca, who were another developer responsible for their own slew of classics. But the reason that I bring this up, and the reason that I begin today at the end rather than sort of beginning at the beginning, is this. I make community radio on CKW in Winnipeg, and when you listen to CKUW, you hear a tremendous variety of music, both new and old, brought to you by the group of volunteers here at the station. And what you don't hear are paid for advertisements or top 40 hits. We pride ourselves on being an alternative to commercial radio. You might even call us anti-commercial. I think that would be fair. And so in the back of my mind, I'm aware that Squarewave plays mostly music that is attached to commercial products. You know, video games that were meant to be sold in big chain stores and eat kids' quarters in arcades. And many of these games had marketing budgets to support them. And more often than any of us would like to admit, maybe they were produced amid unfair labor practices like crunch and that kind of thing. And to add to that, most of my show's topics predate the indie game boom of the 2000s, so I'm almost always talking about some for-profit company. It's not hard to imagine that my show would be construed as commercial. But that interpretation leaves something out that is fundamental to every episode of Squarewave, and it's the people. I mentioned before how it breaks my heart that we have all this great video game music in the world, including some of the most recognizable and enduring songs of the last half century, and yet, as a society, we know almost nothing about the people that are behind them. I think that the biographical element to the average Square Wave is what sets it apart from being just another jukebox show. I think listeners crave these stories of what's behind the music and that it enriches the listening experience. I also think that despite their efforts being used for the purposes of capital, these composers are artists, first and foremost, and their art is unique to this niche, one that exists at this intersection between limited sound capabilities, late 20th century musical tastes, and the emerging interactive medium of video games. Today's case in point is Irem, a company that never recovered from that staff-esque exodus in 1994 that I mentioned previously, and it's proof that it's ultimately the individuals, which is to say, it's the artists behind these games, not the companies, that make these products worth remembering. Okay, with that out of the way, I'm going to get into the story of Irem, which starts way back in the 60s, but first let's hear another track from one of the games that they produced. This is a track called Red Hot Desert, and it's from the 1992 arcade R-Type Leo. You're listening to Squarewave on CKUW 95.9 FM.
3, 2, 1.
Let's go.
Welcome back to Squarewave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. That was Red Hot Desert by Hiroshi Kimura for the game R-Type Leo, released in arcades in 1992 by Irem. More on Kimura later, but for now we want to start with the story of Irem, and that story begins with one man, Kenzo Sugimoto. And for those playing along at home, Sugimoto is not a composer, he's a businessman. But he is the first figure in the story today. He's quite important to the story as well, so I couldn't go by without talking about Sugimoto. Now, he was born in Japan in 1940, certainly a tough time and place for anyone to be born, but especially Sugimoto, whose father died while he was still in high school. This left the family without a primary provider, and it led him to taking a job at his uncle's food wholesale company while he was still in high school. Now, Kenzo Sugimoto kept working at the company through high school, and after graduation, he was transferred to managing the confectionery wholesale arm of the business. Under Sugimoto's leadership, it went independent, and it was renamed Sugimoto Shoden, before it promptly faltered and left Sugimoto with massive debt in the millions of yen. Now, not ready to give up just yet, Sugimoto reopened Sugimoto Shoden in 1969 in Osaka, this time selling cotton candy machines among the confectionery equipment otherwise offered. Now, Sugimoto noticed the cotton candy machines drew in crowds of children who were eager to watch the process of making the flossy treat. And something in this observation inspired confidence in Sugimoto to invest in the growing industry of electronic entertainment. And in 1970,
RCMP Dangerous Person Alert Pimisikamak Cree Nation. This is RCMP Dangerous Person Alert for Pimisikamak Cree Nation. RCMP has issued a dangerous person alert for 39-year-old Joshua Papanikis, last seen early this morning in community when he abducted 20-year-old Rayanne Thomas. Police fear for her life. Don't approach. Call RCMP 204-677-6200.
Fatefully partnered with the much larger Nanao Corporation to produce CRT monitors for its arcade cabinets, and by 1980, Nanao would become the majority shareholder of IPM, giving them more control over the company than Sugimoto had. I'm getting ahead of myself a bit, though, because as history would have it, IPM released its first original arcade game in 1978. And I use the word original pretty loosely here because their first game was IPM Invader, which you'd be right to guess was just a clone of Taito's beloved Space Invaders arcade. Also prior to 1980, in 1979, IPM underwent a name change following a letter from IBM. You know, the International Business Machines Company. Well, that name, IPM, they found it to be too similar and confusing. So, at their request, IPM changed its name to IREM Corporation, with the word IREM being derived from an acronym for International Rental Electronics Machines. Totally different. Everyone gets it. Anyway, Sugimoto established another company in 1979 called IRM Corporation and its subsidiary in Japan, Capsule Computers Co. Limited, while continuing to serve as president of IRM. At least this was until 1982, when Sugimoto was blamed for the declining sales of IPM Invader and other arcade titles and was replaced at IRM by Nanao's president. The following year, 1983, Sugimoto left IRM to focus on his IRM Corporation, which he used to establish Capcom Co. Limited. And that, my friends, is the history of IRM's humble beginnings, and it's also the origin story of Capcom, which is hard to extricate from IRM, but from here on out, the history lesson is over and we can start to get into the composers. You see, it was around this time that arcades became more advanced and featured sound chips that allowed for more than just sound effects and the occasional jingle. Arcades began to feature music, and the very first IRM composer that I'm going to cover today is Ichiro Takagi. Now, Takagi only worked at IRM for a short time, right around when Sugimoto was departing for greener pastures. He ended up composing a few games for the company, at least one of which, Moon Patrol, became a fairly decent hit. I'm going to play all of 1982's Moon Patrol arcade soundtrack for you now, and I'm going to follow it up with Takagi's 1983 soundtrack for 10 Yard Fight. Bear in mind how early this is for arcade music, how 40 years ago this was an industry that was just beginning to take shape. These soundtracks are short, but are important pieces of arcade music history. You're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We just heard the entire soundtrack to Moon Patrol and the entire soundtrack to 10 Yard Fight, released in arcades in 1982 and 1983 respectively. Both games utilized the AY38910 sound chip, prolific in arcades throughout the 1980s, and both games were composed by Ichiro Takagi. I've spoken quite a bit about the iconic AY38910 chip before on the show, and I have so much to cover this hour that I'm just going to have to leave it there for now. I do, however, have a little bit of info to share on Takagi's career. His position at IRAM seems to be the very first job that he had in the games industry, and I can safely say that he had programming experience to back up his compositional abilities, since many of the early arcade games that he worked on had the music programmed in the computer language assembly. Now, these assembly languages are different for every major chipset and model, so many early composers had to familiarize themselves in various dialects of assembly, and Takagi made his music by entering numerical codes that told the chip which notes to play. Anyway, Takagi left IRAM in 1984 to work at another games company called Nichibutsu, where he continued making music on arcade titles for the company, including games like Tube Panic and Roller Jammer, but he stayed in close contact with the team at IRAM, and then on at least one occasion that we'll get into later, he met with his successor at the company, Masato Ishizaki. Now, according to an interview in Shooting Game Site 9, which was published in 2014 and translated on shmupulations.com, Ishizaki was hired at IRAM in December of 1983. He hadn't had much experience with synthesizers or computers, and his only exposure to video games had been the most popular arcades at the time, like Pong, Space Invaders, and Donkey Kong. Musically, Ishizaki was familiar with the guitar, since in middle school he wanted to learn how to play and sing folk and Western songs, and as a teen he idolized Otis Rush. Anyway, when Ishizaki was looking for his first job, he says he applied to about 50 companies without much success. Then he saw a job for a software developer at IRAM. He had no idea that they were looking to make their own games at the time, so when he got an interview and discovered that it was for a game designer, he had to tell them he couldn't draw and he probably wouldn't be much better at game design as a result. Then the interviewer asked if Ishizaki liked music and if he'd ever composed anything. Ishizaki said he had played guitar and he knew how to improvise. That was all the interviewer needed to hear, though, and just like that, Ishizaki was offered his first job making music for IRAM's games. Now, Ishizaki worked on several projects at the company, starting with The Battle Road, followed by The Lode Runner, Revenge of the Bangaringu Empire, but his most recognizable game would come in a 1987 game by the name of R-Type. According to Ishizaki in that interview that I mentioned previously, the impetus for R-Type actually began with Nanao. Now, you recall that Nanao was the parent company of IRAM, and they wanted to show off one of their newly printed circuit board designs. So they asked for a game that would make the most of its specifications, and R-Type was the design the IRAM team came up with. I think now is a really good time to take a short break and hear some of the music that Ishizaki composed for IRAM. I'm going to start with a few tracks from the arcade release of R-Type, and following that we'll hear from Vigilante, released a year after R-Type as one of the last titles Ishizaki would compose at IRAM. Overall, both are great soundtracks, but the comparison between the two really shows how much progress was being made in arcade sound technology in such a very short time there at the late 80s. You're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. That was Battle Theme, Boss Theme, and Like a Hero from R-Type, followed by Title Back, Bad Company, Scraps Fight, High Time, and Last Mission from Vigilante. And all of those songs were composed by Masato Ishizaki during his time at IREM. For those that are just joining us, IREM is the connective tissue of the show today, and my excuse to feature all of these different composers in one episode. A little bit more on Ishizaki before I move on. Like many of the composers in this era, he used a pseudonym, and you can find him credited as SCLAP, or SCLAP. And I've recently talked on the show about why these composers use pseudonyms, but it's interesting to know the stories behind the names that they chose. Ishizaki says the S was the last letter of blues, and the clap is from Eric Clapton, who Ishizaki was a big fan of. Remember, I'm taking this information from an interview in 2014. And Ishizaki says, quote, "At first I was going to use blues clap as a pseudonym, but that felt a little too cheesy," unquote. Anyway, after R-Type, Ishizaki has moved on to more of a design and planning role at IREM, something with more responsibilities that kept him from solely working on sound, and so the company began looking for another composer to fill in the gaps. Remember the first composer that I talked about on the show today, Ichiro Takagi? The guy who did Moon Patrol and Ten Yard Fight, among the other early IREM games before he left the company? Well, I mentioned that he stayed in communication with the IREM team, and it was actually Takagi who recommended that they interview Masahiko Ishida for this new position. Now, Ishida was a musician who had fallen in love with guitar during high school. He taught himself music theory and composition in college, and afterward he found work as a semi-pro musician performing in backing bands for artists at a talent agency from 1980 to 1985. And it was at this job that brought him in contact with Ichiro Takagi. Now, Takagi took a liking to the younger man and invited him over to experiment with Takagi's personal collection of synthesizers, like the Sharp MZ computer and Roland MPU-401 MIDI unit. And this was Ishida's first exposure to such technology, and it inspired the younger composer to invest in his own home studio. Ishida says that it was this decision that allowed him to create the demo tape that so impressed the IREM team during his initial interview. After being hired at IREM in 1987, this was just after the release of R-Type, Ishida immediately began working on several arcade titles, including Image Fight, Dragon Breed, Legend of Hero Tanma, X-Multiply, and R-Type 2, all of which were composed by Ishida. Now, there's a ton of great music from Ishida during this time. He was only there for 2 years at the company, but I really recommend checking out more than what I can play on the show today. I just won't have time to get into more of it, but we will listen to what we can of Ishida's compositions for IREM, and we'll start today with Ninja Spirit and follow that up with tracks from X-Multiply and Image Fight. You're listening to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
is RCMP Dangerous Person Alert Pimisikamak Cree Nation. This is RCMP Dangerous Person Alert for Pimisikamak Cree Nation. RCMP has issued a dangerous person alert for 39-year-old Joshua Papanikis, last seen early this morning in community when he abducted 20-year-old Rayanne Thomas. Police fear for her life. Don't approach. Call RCMP 204-676-2600.
Welcome back to Square Wave on CKUW 95.9 FM. We just heard Forest Round 2 and Dark Blue Round 6 from Ninja Spirit, Illegal Illusion Stage 4 from X Multiply, and Introduction Stage 1 and Final Mission Stage 8 from Image Fight. Now, those songs were all composed by Masahiko Ishida during his time working at IREM, which only lasted about 2 years, from September 1987 to September 1989, with his departure lining up nicely with the time that X-Multiply and R-Type 2 were released to arcades. His reason for leaving the company, Ishida says that he got the bug to play in a band again, so he left IREM for that kind of work, and once again the company sought out some new talent. This search led them to Hiroshi Kimura, who would spend 2 years working at IREM from about 1990 to 1992, contributing to 8 titles over this time. I wasn't able to find out much about Kimura, his musical background, or how he connected to IREM, and there's virtually nothing about his career after 1992. His contributions speak for themselves, however, since we've already played 2 of his tracks off the top of the hour, and we'll get to hear a couple more in a few moments. But first, I want to tease for you what's coming up on the next episode of Square Wave. You see, in covering the early history of IREM this hour, I had somewhat of an ulterior motive. All of this has been leading up to the most famous and enduring composer to come out of IREM, and it's why I haven't touched too much on the previously mentioned staff exodus that happened at the company in 1994. You see, this was all setting up for a show entirely centered on Takushi Hiyamuda, which I have been working on for a while now before ultimately deciding that I had to cover his predecessors at IREM before I could do justice to his story and musical catalog. And you can look forward to that on the next episode of Square Wave. For now, though, let's hear a couple of tracks from Hiroshi Kimura, the final composer of the show this hour. This is Victory from Racing Damashi, Fortress Stage 6 from Mystic Riders, and Paradise Planet Area 1 from R-Type Leo. I hope you enjoy these tracks. I'll be back to wrap up the hour. You're listening to Square Wave on CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We'll be right back.
3, 2, 1.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening to Square Wave today. I hope you enjoyed this episode on the early composers of IREM. I found it a bit odd to be focusing on a company for the show, but I talked before about how little information there is on some of these artists, so it helps to have a framing device that doesn't require me to try to find 20 minutes of interesting spoken content on one obscure composer. If you like the show today, there are about 40 older episodes that you can stream for free on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. No login or account required, so check that out. You can search for Square Wave CKAW. Square Wave is written and hosted by me, Dustin Rogers. The show's theme was composed by Spaceman Fantastiques. Make sure you stay tuned for Pages, and lots of other great community radio right here on CKW 95.9 FM.
Listener-driven, never corporate-programmed. This is independent radio, CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg.
Generous support to CKUW 95.9 FM is provided by Into the Music, quality collectible music since 1987. Into the Music is located in the Exchange District, 245 McDermott at the corner of King Street. To receive our twice-weekly newsletter, call the store or go online at intothemusic.ca to sign up. Kick off your Friday evenings at 7:30 with us at our in-store stage for free all-ages shows featuring local bands and performers.
With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. With a Friends card, your dollars get more at
Dooley Records at 557 Portage Avenue. Dooley Records is a crate digger's paradise with vintage vinyl, tapes, and CDs added weekly. With spine-tingling vinyl, cassettes that won't put you in debt, and CDs, well, you just got a CD's compact disc with your 10% discount.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a friend's card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.
Groundswell Radio on CKUW explores the best contemporary concert music from Winnipeg and around the world. Tune in Mondays at 2 and to hear it all again Sundays at 4. Groundswell Radio only on CKUW 95.9 in Winnipeg.